Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Name this artist.
Taylor Swift.
No.
Jay? Avril Lavigne.
Alanis Morissette.
Who said Avril Lavigne in your ear?
No, I know I said
Who
that.
Who said Avril Lavigne in your ear?
Come on, man.
Somebody fess up. Wow.
Nobody said anything. Yeah. I just messed with you because I said Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Somebody definitely told you.
I swear.
It's all right. You knew Avril Lavigne. That's a good one.
Why couldn't I know that one song,
Jay?
Jay, you're not the only person that went to Duke.
Jay confidently said Alanis Morissette.
But you're not the only person that have frequent places that play that music, Jay.
I know Alan Yates got in your ear.
No, he did not.
You said Taylor Swift too, with too much conviction.
It was a joke.
He really did.
Because that's what you expected from me to say it. I could say the person's name again, though, right now, if you ask me.
But you nailed it the first time. That's all that matters. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hunt in for Zubin. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Just again.
I think she's seeing Skater Boy or something.
Yeah, that's
like that.
Right.
Yeah.
See, now he's doing. Now he's doing too much. You see,
he's letting you know.
Alan Yates, stop it. Stop feeding Key.
He's not feeding me anything.
Again,
Jay.
Skater personality.
Again. You're not the only individual.
How do we have the record ready to play then, Key?
You're not the only individual that frequent places that play that music now, Jay. Come on now.
It's the guy that wears board shorts when he's hanging
out.
Yes,
that is correct.
Like, this is...
And I almost had some on today.
Today, it's like
I know,
pouring
but
out New York
exactly,
City.
But I couldn't today. But in another week or so, I'm going to be in here with my board shorts on and everything. I'm not talking sports with a suit on. It's not happening.
And what is it with you not liking that, wearing a suit when you're on TV to talk sports? You don't like that?
Why do we have to wear a suit?
Who wears
to talk
a
sports?
Suit? Do you wear a suit? Do you honestly go into a sports bar with a suit on and talk sports? Do you sit around
Depends
your house
I was
with a
before
suit
I
on?
Went to the sports bar.
Oh, well, then, if you coming from a sports bar with a suit, I mean from work, to a sports bar with a suit on, something's wrong with you. Take the damn tie off, the jacket, roll up the sleeves, pull the shirt out, okay? That's what you need to do.
Loosen up
what
a
I
little.
Do here.
Loosen up a little.
That's what I do. Collars open,
we're not selling
up.
Stock in or anything. We're not doing financial planning in the middle of a football game.
So you're saying like the idea that like I try to match the pocket square and the tie and make it look like good presentable on TV is a waste
it's
of time.
It's 6 o'clock in the damn morning when people are tuning
Alan.
In.
I'm not a detective, Jay.
You are.
Sexy
SUV.
Detective. I just want to tell you I found some interesting information. I just want to share with
what
you.
What is that smell? I know the smell.
Breaking down that third quarter.
No. So people, for those that want to wear suits, that's okay.
But how come on NFL Live you've got a
because
sport coat
that's
on?
What they want us to do. They want us to do that on NFL Live.
Mm-hmm.
They're not asking us to do that on this show. And if they were asking to do that on this show, the prerequisite would immediately have been no. Mm. No, we're not doing that at 6 o'clock in the morning.
No, it's way it's too early to get too dressed up. It's very comfortable to be here just chilling. Like
and then the interesting thing about these sort of conversations and when you talk to the higher ups, the bosses, the producers, the directors, people that make the decisions, they say, well, any breaking news could happen and it could be very serious, so we want to make sure that you're appropriate. That has nothing to do with me sounding a certain way and having a certain tone when it becomes very serious. I don't have to wear a damn suit.
I'm not going against management. Let's move on here.
You're so scary.
Can we
being so
that?
Scary, man.
Can we discuss that in the next negotiation? That would be good, too. We do not need to wear a suit. But I just find it fascinating.
So I'm assuming as we host First Take this week, you'll be suited and booted.
I'm following whatever your lead is.
Okay.
You know, because Max and Stephen A., I mean, they come dressed to the nines.
They make all the money. They got $5,000 suits to wear every other day, or every day, better yet. And Molly got them $3,000 outfits on coming from them fancy places.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Stay out of people's pockets, Key.
No, I'm not in their pockets. I'm just saying,
point, though, is
I can look at their suits and their gear and tell you it's expensive.
So we're on First Take on Thursday and Friday this week. And that's what I need to figure out. Like, am I supposed to do that because that's sort of the thing that everybody does in that show, or should we just be complete rebels and say
I'm not a rebel, I'm just being me. So
okay, that's the line of a rebel.
That is
okay. Well, I mean, if put it this way, if they're offended by my outfit when I'm joining their show, then so be it.
Can you tell me ahead of time? Because I always have mirror anxiety.
Whatever I have on when I walk in the building, that's what I'm going to be wearing.
It's too late for me at that point. I need to know. I have mirror anxiety pretty much every morning. So I need to know. Then I feel like, all right, if Key's going that way, I go that way, then we're at 10.
Man, I'm talking sports, man.
But if, Alan, you be you, Alan.
Yeah,
you're fine.
Be you.
You go whatever way
yeah,
you want.
Yeah, however you want to. Really, double-breasted. You really want double-breasted with gold Versace buttons, do you?
I would do that, actually. Wouldn't be a bad look.
I don't think the double-breasted would work on you. But
Yeah. I think we're being told to get back to sports, so why don't we do that? Because there's a couple of other NFLs. We talked about Le'Veon Bell and how he'll never play for Andy Reid again. First of all, do we believe that? Like, if the Chiefs are the only team left to call him.
Absolutely. I believe it.
That's it. He's done. Yeah, he'll retire.
Yeah, he doesn't want to play. But the Chiefs ain't calling, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. What do we think of this, you as a former Cowboy? Kyler Murray said something really interesting here. Now, remember, he's from Texas, right? You would think that this is a guy, you must have grown up a big Cowboys fan. In fact, no. When he was, this is on the Blogging the Boys Twitter account. He said that he never grew up a Cowboys fan because, quote, and this is a quote, they were always ass, end quote. Aggressive, wouldn't you say? But I mean, he actually had a really good game last year against the Cowboys. So their defense was not very good.
You know, Cowboys been bad for a while, so I could certainly, when he was young, growing up, they were not good.
Aggressive statement, though.
Why is it aggressive? It's like you talking with your boys.
Yeah, it's true.
That's how we all talk when we leave the studio, just walking. That's how we talk.
The garbage.
But I'm not going to tweet that you said that, Jay. Like, this is
but
different.
It's garbage,
you're
though.
Putting it out there.
They were garbage then, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Say it the way you, they were sorry.
Sorry as hell. All outdoors. Very sorry.
I don't know. Like, that one caught my attention.
And I might, let me see, Kyler Murray.
You do
have I might have been on a couple of those teams. We were not good.
He's 23 years old, so.
Yeah, might have been on one or two of those teams. We were not good.
No. So he's right.
Facts.
So he's right.
Yeah.
So you're not offended by that.
No.
You don't think he's going to feel any repercussions on that at all?
Nah, fans will boo him.
First of all, he's talking about, like, the guys that are on the current Cowboys, what do they care? They weren't
on
those teams.
They don't care. They probably didn't like the Cowboys either.
Yeah, it's amazing. America's team.
This will be a media story for a day or so, and then it'll go away.
Off-season fodder, baby. But you know what is the off-season story that never goes away? Aaron Rodgers. And so Mark Murphy, who is the CEO and president of the Packers, who said the best thing we can do is keep all the conversations private. Well, let's see. He's written a blog now where he blames Aaron Rodgers, saying he's dividing the fan base. And now he has an event at Lambeau Field. And according to NBC26.com, he brings up the memory of Ted Thompson, the former general manager, of course, of the Packers, who said this of Aaron Rodgers. He said he often talked about Aaron, that he's and it wasn't just Aaron. It was a lot of different players. He would say he's a complicated fella. So I'll just leave it at that. Now,
I got a nickname for him.
A nickname for who?
The Murph.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to call him.
The Murph.
Just call him the Murph. Every time he says something, there goes the Murph.
Murphy's Law. That's what rules right now in Green Bay. But is this another sign? Like, the stages of divorce are basically like you try to have the, you know, you go through the mediation. You try to maybe go through some, you know, like, let's see if we can work this out. And then you get to that point where you know, all right, there's no coming back on this. So now we just start, like, the mudslinging begins.
Yeah.
And this feels like the Packers know, all right, we've tried all we could to appeal to him. He's still being Aaron. So now instead of just being nice publicly, we're going to trash him so that the fan base understands that he's the bad guy in this whole thing.
Well, good thing all the kids are with the Green Bay Packers right now. So we don't most of them, right? We don't have to worry about that. But, yeah, this smells like they're done with Aaron. And they're tired of talking to Aaron to try to convince him of something different. And now the gloves are off and they're just going to go. That's what it sounds like to me, because this is the second time that he's doubled down basically by saying what he's saying. First off, it was, I'm going to kind of say that the fans are being divided by you. Now I'm going to say you're complicated. So now I've got two negatives against your zero, because you've said nothing about us.
Mm-hmm.
But I've said something about you.
He did.
When?
When he talked about how it's about the people and the character and the
Yeah, but that's not saying anything, though, Alan. They ain't put no names to it.
The whole organization has been so on point with this, though, about how they felt about Aaron. They've always said the right things, mm-hmm. with the exception of a couple of things Mark Murphy has said. I mean, they've been on the right side here. So you could, if this is a point of frustration for him, obviously he's trying to make amends. He's trying to make things work. I can understand that a little bit from his side.
Yeah, it just it feels like he said the less talking we do is better, and then he's doing all the talking. So this is not going to get resolved anytime soon. In fact, it does feel like now it's heading to that divorce he has been calling. No, nobody should be saying anything, but
I'm talking about Green Bay. Like, they should just – they should play it right and just let Aaron Rodgers stew. Make Aaron Rodgers think.
Don't even talk about him.
Make him wonder, why aren't they talking about me? Why aren't they saying anything about me? Like, that's what they should try and do.
Yeah.
Not that it'll work, but, you know, the less you say, the better off you are.
That's I thought that's what he said, but instead he's going in a different direction. Keyshawn J. Wilson.
The Murph.
We're brought to you by Indeed. If you're hiring this summer, you need Indeed. With Indeed Instant Match, just post a sponsored job and you'll immediately get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. The Nets suddenly, I mean, I'm talking about in a blink, two games in Milwaukee, and that series has taken a turn. Now it's down to a best of three, and Kyrie Irving now injured and out. James Harden's status remains, of course, uncertain. Down to KD and the Nets to see if they can now get their win back in Brooklyn and get back control of this series. Tim Legler joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, our ESPN NBA analyst. Legs, good morning. So, I mean, in a blink of an eye, this series has turned from one that looked like they were dominating to one that now they're trying to survive. You know, how do you see the game plan changing? If you're down to Kevin Durant, and it's pretty clear the way P.J. Tucker's playing him, that he can give him a lot of trouble, how can they try to win this series with only one of the big three?
I don't think they can. If you don't see James Harden, and at this point, I think Kyrie Irving, I would be shocked if we see Kyrie Irving in this series the rest of the way, based on the way that looked, the way he reacted as he was leaving the court, the way, you know, we heard him leaving the building. I'd be shocked if we see Kyrie. Now, he may. It may be miraculous. But let's just focus on Harden. If James Harden does not make an appearance in this series in the next two games, and he's close to 100%, I don't think Kevin Durant can do this by himself. You can't generate that kind of offense by yourself, particularly when this series has taken a turn like it has in the way it's been officiated. And I heard what Steve Nash said. He might have gone too far when he said that P.J. Tucker, some of the things he's doing, really a border on non-basketball activity. I don't agree with that whatsoever. It's just, it's not what modern basketball looks like. Mm-hmm. But all P.J. Tucker is doing is being physical, and he's doing as much as he is being allowed to do. And by the way, it's not just P.J. Tucker. You also have two guys on that team that P.J. Tucker could funnel him to, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's a defensive player of the year, and Jrue Holiday, who's a first-team all-league caliber defender. So you've got multiple guys out there that have made their bones in this league on the defensive end of the floor, and it starts with P.J. Tucker and getting inside of Kevin Durant's jersey, starting at 30 feet and riding him over screens and getting up under him when he's trying to land on jump shots and riding him to the rim so he can't be on balance when he tries to finish. It's going to be too much for Kevin Durant to pull off. And, you know, the problem for the Nets, their free throw rate's been cut in half. They average 23 free throws a game in the regular season. They've taken 26 total in the last two games, including only 8. With Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on the floor, took 8 free throws in game 3. How are you supposed to overcome that when you rely on that? You rely on the greatness of your offensive players and getting calls, and they're not getting them right now. So for me, if this is Kevin Durant and a bunch of role players against a really good Milwaukee Bucks team on both ends of the floor, I do not see how Kevin Durant can get this thing across the finish line. James Harden is going to have to get on that horse. He's going to have to ride in, and he's going to have to come to the rescue, because if one guy can play through this physical contact right now, it's James Harden. That's a guy that's going to get to the line 12 to 15 times if this is how physical the Bucks are going to be on the perimeter. Harden uses that against you as a defender, and he could turn things around, but remains to be seen. We haven't gotten a lot of word on whether he's going to be participating in this series. Certainly not yet heard if he's going to be out there for game 5.
Legs, I agree with you. If those guys don't come back, then the Bucks move on. If that is the case, are the Bucks the favorite in the East, or do you have the 76ers coming out?
Wow. You know, look, that to me is a toss-up. I would probably lean toward the Bucks in that situation, because I just think they've got more guys that can go generate offense for you. Now, to me, Embiid could be the differentiating factor between those two teams because he's so unique in the way that he can dominate you, and no one really is prepared up front. But when you look at the Bucks, you've got a guy like Lopez who can go down there and bang with him. He's a phenomenal shot contester, shot blocker. He at least is a guy that can be there as a presence to bother Embiid, and obviously Antetokounmpo with his length down there could do the same. So you've got to have answers from a personnel standpoint for Joel Embiid, and I think the Bucks represent that. But to me, honestly, guys, that's a toss-up. You know, it's interesting, with the Lakers gone and the way that their season flamed out and all the injuries they had going into that, now the Nets dealing with this, and if this is how it goes and he's out there by himself, KD, and they lose – you take the Nets and the Lakers out of the equation, the two teams we expected to meet in the finals. To me, that opens the door for the Bucks, the Sixers, the Jazz, the Clippers, and the Suns. I would not be shocked if any one of those five teams were standing at the end. I think that's what this has done, and the sense of urgency that all of those teams are going to have to get it done now in a window in which the two favorites are dealing with all these injuries, that's going to be fascinating to watch. But I think all of those teams are capable. They all have enough talent, they're well coached enough, and they've got enough depth to make a deep run.
It's amazing how parity can happen with the injuries. Tim Legler joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Legs, I wanted to ask you about what we also saw last night in the Western Conference as the Nuggets and the MVP, Nikola Jokic, swept out of the playoffs, which is, of course, shocking in its own right. But the play that led to him being ejected from that game, called the flagrant two, as we talk about the physicality of play with PJ Tucker, with what the Bucks are able to do against the Nets, this isn't obviously a physicality play. This was a frustration play by Jokic, but it was called a flagrant two. Did you see that as something that should have led to an ejection, or was it maybe something that they could have at least called the flagrant one and left him in the game?
No way. I thought that was horrific in the moment. Look, I understand he was frustration and he wound up and he swung, but he barely caught him with the inside of his elbow on his nose. And I'm not saying that didn't hurt, because I'm sure it did. And Cameron Payne reflected that. He wasn't trying to act and get a call. I'm sure that hurt. But 95% of the action resulted in hitting the basketball cleanly out of his hand. When you combine it with the fact that Nikola Jokic has a squeaky clean reputation, this isn't a guy that goes out there every night and he's taking cheap fouls on people and taking people out of the air when they go to the rim and hurting people on illegal screens. Like, he doesn't have that reputation. Okay, so let's go with that. And I do think that should play into it sometimes when you start talking about guys and the reputation and what they've done in the past. I think it should play into it. You go, you over, you take a look at it. This is the MVP of the league. This is the playoffs. Clearly, he was not trying to hit him in the head. It just so happens it was incidental with his elbow grazing his nose. So for me, in the moment, and then the more I saw the replay, I just thought that was a terrible decision to eject Nikola Jokic from that game.
Legs, speaking of the Clippers, is this their best opportunity here? You're looking at those two wings, man, and Kawhi and Paul George. I know Paul George just woke up last game. Donovan Mitchell having someone of that ankle injury. Is there a better time for the Clippers to pounce him right now?
No, you got to get him now, Jay. You know, we'll see what happens with Donovan Mitchell. I have a feeling that Mitchell's going to look a lot closer to 100% maybe than people think, because even at the end of that game, he was trying to get his way back onto the floor. You know, he's standing there having a conversation with Quinn Snyder with his arm around him, and I think Quinn Snyder was watching the action saying, okay, if we get a stop and a three right here and it's still doable, he probably would have sent him back in. But it, you know, there was a couple of possessions they didn't score, and I think Quinn Snyder just thought, you know what, let's just not risk it, sit you down. But I think there was a chance he was going to even make it back in that game. So I do think he'll come back and he's going to look like Donovan Mitchell. But look, this is their Clippers shot, mainly because you didn't get the Lakers. That's the bottom line. You did not end up with a healthy Lakers team. And when you look at Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and you add in the role players on that team, and if they can make three-point shots around those two guys, and Paul George is that aggressive and that efficient the way that he was in game three, the Clippers are very much alive in this series, and this is their window to get this thing done. Having said it, I think the Utah Jazz are a more complete team, and I think the way they move the basketball, the way they share it, can overcome even a great defensive team on the perimeter like the Clippers. Ball movement trumps all of that, and that's what the Jazz do. So I still think the Jazz are going to win this series, assuming that Donovan Mitchell is, like I said, close to 100%.
If you're right, though, Legs, the Jazz are going to win, what's the next step for the Clippers and Kawhi?
It's a good question. I look at it like this. This is where Kawhi Leonard wanted to be. I don't think Kawhi Leonard is out there hunting around anymore and looking for other franchises and other stars to pair up with. He wanted to be with this franchise in this market, and so did Paul George, and they wanted to play together. So even though from a front office standpoint, you're going to look at that and say, you know, what do we need to do to shore this up? I don't necessarily think you're going to look at those two guys. I think you're going to look at what's around them. But as far as Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, to me, it seems like they've made their decision where they want to be. And I don't think, you know, coming up short again in the postseason 2 years in a row will be enough to deter them. I think they're going to start looking at the rest of their roster and thinking about what else do they need to add. You know, one thing I thought Rondo could address was the lack of vocal leadership on this team. I think it's a problem when you have two super laid-back guys who want to lead by example. I think that doesn't necessarily translate to the fire that you need sometimes. I thought Rondo could provide that, but only if he's on the court doing Rondo-type things. So I think that's an issue, something they need to look at internally when you look at the rest of their roster and the way they fill it out. But I don't think Paul George, Kawhi Leonard are going anywhere.
Legs, we're going to leave it right there. Great stuff as always. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, guys.
Tim Legler on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, so you heard him very strongly tell you that he didn't think it was deserving of a flagrant two. We've heard others, of course, talk about it today as well. Let's get an expert on officiating next to tell us why the MVP was tossed from the game last night. That will come up after Key has this from Indeed.
The good news is your business doubled. The even better news is Indeed can help you hire the right people without the wait times of the typical recruiting process. That's because Indeed has a great hiring platform where you can make calls, schedule virtual interviews, and talk to candidates over video. Right from your easy-to-use employer dashboard. It's just another reason Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Find your next great hire at Indeed.com/credit.
Hi, it's Greeny, and if you're like me, you're stunned that the Bucks have evened up their series with the Nets at 2 games apiece. Big win at home for Milwaukee. Do they have a real chance now to pull off the upset? We'll talk about it. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Lawawu Cabarro, and then the hook shot off the catch block. Perry, who got the steal, got his shot swatted at the end of the trip. Nice. Holiday into the paint. Lob the rim. Alley-oop dunk. Bonacera, everybody. Milwaukee's tied the series at 2. It's 101-84.
Bonacera, indeed. The call by Sean Kelly, PJ Carlissimo on ESPN Radio as Giannis and the Bucks even their series with the Nets. They win game 4. 107-96 for Giannis, his fourth 30-point, 10-rebound game this postseason. Only Kareem has more in a single postseason in Bucks history. As for the Nets, first time they scored fewer than 100 points in back-to-back games this season, adding insult to injury. Kyrie left the game playing just 17 minutes due to a sprained right ankle. Game 5, Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, with coverage on ESPN Radio starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. In the West, the Nuggets are swept out of the playoffs. The MVP gone as the Suns win Game 4, 125-118. It's the first time since 2010 that the Suns are back in the Western Conference Finals. Chris Paul, 37 points in Game 4, the oldest player at the age of 36 to average 25 points and 10 assists in a playoff series. Nikola Jokic, the MVP, he was ejected in the game after a flagrant 2 in the third quarter. He's the fifth MVP to be swept in a playoff series all time. To the ice, the Islanders take Game 1 from the Tampa Bay Lightning to win 2-1 in their Stanley Cup semifinals. They played virtually, the Islanders did, mistake-free hockey to steal home ice advantage in this series. Game 2, Tuesday night, back in Tampa. Now, since the creation of the conference finals in 82, the teams are 32-2 when they take a 2-0 series lead in the round before the Stanley Cup final. So a must-win for the Lightning. SportsCenter brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear knows from here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs. It takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear or Driven.
It's a closeout game. Suns trying to sweep.
If you lose, you're out.
The last thing I want to see is the Suns pushing a broom across that court.
Look at that play. Look at that play. Chris Paul is putting on display for the ages.
Play after play. Not going to back down. We got to play with our heads.
He is on automatic.
Your MVP is done for the night and possibly this season.
It's about winning. This is the deal.
Right down goes Paul.
This ain't about me. It's about us. Show you what you can do when you come together as a team.
So here we go into now through the second round, and one team already on to the conference final. That is the Phoenix Suns, and other series starting to get interesting. And then injuries are taking a toll as well. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, we're brought to you by attorneys Cordell and Cordell. Fair divorce for men. Call 1-866-DADS-LAW. So let's discuss with an expert. As we've gotten all of the different takes on what happened last night, as the Nuggets, they are swept out of the playoffs. Nikola Jokic, the MVP, out. But he was ejected in a play that we're watching over and over again, and we're getting different takes on why a flagrant 2 was called, why Jokic was ejected, and as Michael Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, said, once you lose that guy, it's really hard to end up winning the game. They do get swept. So Steve Javy, who's refereed in the NBA for over 25 years, done countless NBA Finals games certainly as well, and now with us as ESPN officiating analyst, joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. So Steve, we've talked about the ejection and the rule of the flagrant 2 of unnecessary and excessive contact. Can you just explain, first, from your expert opinion, what you thought of the play and the ejection, and if the call, of course, was the correct one?
Yeah, guys. Well, first, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I enjoy talking about these things. And a lot of times here, especially when officials go over to the monitor to replay the situation and look at it, make a decision. Remember, it's subjective, too. There are rules, but it is subjective to the interpretation of the officials watching it at the game. I mean, I'm sure there's certain officials who would have gone there and said, is it a flagrant 2 or 1? And it had been close, who knows? But these guys deemed it to be a flagrant 2. Well, the thing that gets me a couple times here is this, is that I understand, and I'm reading about he was frustrated and so on. And, of course, players get frustrated, there's no doubt. But he makes it really so obvious, guys. He just winds up and takes his big arm, and unfortunately for him, and I know he probably didn't in his mind say, I want to hit him in the nose, and he hits him, and he takes up this big windup, hits him in the nose, and I know some people might have said, well, you know, the impact should have been harder. Well, do I need to see blood in order to, like, eject a guy? I mean, these are things that I think about as I'm watching the play, because I didn't see it, like, in real time last night. I was watching it this morning. And, I mean, it does meet the criteria for it. There's this big windup. There's an impact. And where did the impact occur? Well, it occurred in his face area, in the nose. And it was at a basketball play. I know someone says, well, he was going for the ball. Well, let me tell you something. When someone goes for the ball, in my opinion, they don't start winding up 2 or 3 feet prior to making contact. And then what we have afterwards is an altercation. What I think in my mind, I don't know why I was thinking about this. If Jokic did it and walked away and didn't walk up on Devin, I know Devin Booker walked up on him. Mm-hmm. Was it possible he could have walked away from that? I don't know, but would that have changed the official's mind too? I don't know either. But, I mean, it was something that I think that the league can defend and will defend because it does meet the criteria. It was excessive, in my opinion. A couple other things, too, is that I know that the referees are called to, referee like they would during a regular season. That came into my mind, too. And I say, you know what, during a regular season, that's a no-brainer. That's an ejection. So why wouldn't it be now in the playoffs? And then the last thing I'll hit you with that we can talk about is that can we dispel, and not that anybody's saying it now, but they do, they will in a little bit, I'm sure, next week or so, that the superstar gets protected. Here's the MVP of the league. He gets ejected. So the referees are trying to do the best they can. In this situation, they felt that the flagrant two is warranted, and I think it's justified.
Steve, does reputation play into these things some of the time?
If somebody's an aggressive person, continually an aggressive person, or maybe during the game, this certain game, maybe somebody had been aggressive before, or maybe there have been flagrant fouls in the game, I think that'll come into it. But I'm not going to target somebody as reputations from last year or this or that. But I think situational reputation, if that makes any sense, that if a guy has committed a flagrant foul or there have been a number of flagrant fouls during a game, which sometimes happen, then I think you calibrate a little higher and say my tolerance of another flagrant foul is not going to be too going to be too tolerant of it.
Yeah, Steve, I respect your opinion on this one. I kind of knowing Jokic's history and you know how it looked like he was going for the ball. I know that inadvertent contact to the face, it can put a ref in that situation. I'm okay with it either way because I feel like the Suns were going to sweep them. I do want to go to the Nets-Bucks series because Steve Nash came out and said, I thought the play between P.J. Tucker and Kevin Durant, I thought it was borderline non-basketball physical at times. If you got a chance to watch that series, is Steve Nash correct or do you just think it's been a tough physical series?
I think obviously Tucker is a very, very aggressive defender, and that's a matchup that if I'm officiating, I'm watching that matchup big time to make sure that's clean. Tucker's not a dirty player. He's an aggressive player, and he frustrates, obviously, Kevin Durant and a lot of other people who he guards. So I think that's a matchup that you really have to watch as an official. But I don't think it's dirty, and I don't think it's just a matter of whether the contact you have to deem it to be illegal or is it marginal contact. And that's one that I would as an official, I would stay on that matchup right from the get-go.
Steve Javid joining us here on the Goodyear Hotline, ESPN officiating analyst, of course, longtime NBA official as well, over 25 years. Steve, you said something, though, I really do want to follow up on, because you said what the idea is you want to officiate a game in the playoffs just like it was in the regular season. That really does happen because the narrative's always been, well, it's a playoff game now, the physicality's allowed a little more, and it does seem like in the postseason you get away with a little more physically. But is the intention to officiate the game the exact same way?
Absolutely. And I know that some of my colleagues always say that they question about the officials officiating it the same way. There has never been a directive, as long as I've been officiating, never been a directive saying, okay, playoff time, let them play. No. I'll tell you what the difference is, guys. The players don't play the same. I mean, in game 60 of this regular season is not being played the same as game 4 of the round 2 of the semifinals when teams are now getting after it. The intensity level picks up, the physicality picks up, and the referees have to be ready in order to meet that physicality with their, you know, with their concentration, the way they referee. So in my opinion, is that the game is officiated, they're taught to officiate the same way. It's the players that play differently. They contest just about every rebound. They contest every possession. In game 60, they're not doing that. So now, does that mean that the officials won't miss more calls or something like that? Possibly. That's possibly because maybe the physicality and it's like, ah, damn, I missed that one or I missed that one because they're going to miss them every night. There's no doubt about it. But my thing is the players play completely differently than in the playoffs than they do in the regular season where the officials are trying to referee the same as they did during the regular season and actually by the league standards, are called to officiate the same way as they did during the regular season.
That is fascinating insight. I love that because it is a great point to make. The players are the ones that are playing harder. It's the officials that it's a lot more now to watch and probably to officiate as well. Steve, thank you so much for that. That's great insight.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Steve.
All right, Steve Javy. I thought it was great stuff right there. Again, you play harder. The players play harder, and so therefore it looks like we're letting more go, but it's just the physicality of the game that is.
Yeah, just turn up the heat
taking
a little
up,
bit.
Right, taking That's up all. Another notch. KJZ presented by Progressive Insurance.
Again,
Steve Javy on the Goodyear Hotline. Go ahead, Jay.
I say I'm happy we just don't have these reviews where it's taking refs like hours to go back to the monitor too, because that becomes a whole different conversation.
Yeah, be careful what you wish on that, right? No doubt. We have not had that as a major issue so far. All right, coming up next, Caller Roulette, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Get in line, and we'll get to you after Jay has this from Granger.
For all the ones who get it done, Granger is always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop on by.
It's time for Caller Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Again. How you doing, Joe? Get a scotch in the rocks.
I should actually wait in my room. Dress up. Going to like the Ritz-Carlton Central Park and play on the piano, like with the and see if people realize
put the
Sifter Big Giant Sifter deal with some money in it. Sit there, play on.
Just see how much you can get.
See if people recognize.
Even people notice that it's you doing
it. Can you play the piano key?
I can fake play it.
Yeah, you don't have to.
I'll just fake it.
You get on a player piano.
Yeah,
right?
A player piano. Just fake it.
Give that look. I'll croon for you. You play. Just sit there and see how much money we can make. Keyshawn J. Wills, we brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. It's time for some Straight Talk. Cutting your wireless bill in half feels good. Home run the ninth, good. Straight Talk offers 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys on America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. It is called the roulette. We spin the wheel. Line two.
Yes. Hi, this is Jason. I was wondering if you guys thought that play was a dirty play by Giannis, where he came from, looked like he stepped under Kyrie. It just was a different part of the floor. It was on the perimeter, so it doesn't get called.
So Giannis, you think Giannis intentionally went underneath Kyrie on that play?
I was wondering if you thought it was illegal and dirty. I think it's illegal.
Jay, what do you
think? Dirty, who knows? But
Jay, what do you think, Jay?
I don't think it was dirty.
I don't think it was dirty. It's not the foot placement part. You know,
I mean,
him
he's already
him out,
but he's coming in for
the.
That's
what I'm saying. He's already headed there for the rebound. He's coming in for the rebound. He didn't know that they would miss. I mean, they would make it.
But here's
it was
the part.
A miss?
Here's the part when you go back and you watch the replay in slow mo. He hits him with the elbow in the chest.
Yeah, he does.
He
does get him in the ribs.
He hits him with the elbow in the chest.
Yeah,
but is that more? Was that more? But is that more boxing him out, kind of? If the ball was to hit the front of the rim, the back of the rim.
We're watching over and over again on ESPN News.
Box me out once my feet are cemented on the ground. Box me out once my feet are cemented on the ground, not while I'm coming down in the air. That's the only thing.
All right, Yates feels like it is dirty.
It seemed like a field bang bang play to me.
It's just like a hustle play. Yates, make your case.
I don't feel that because the lay is already going to be made. I'm not going to miss the layup. I'm in front of the rim. You don't need to box me out while I am in the air. You're not getting the rebound anyway if I miss it or make it because it's in front of the rim. I think it's uncalled for. I ain't going to say it's dirty, but it's definitely something that
you
should
don't
not
like
be
Giannis
happened.
Anyway.
All right, so it's all right.
If Kyrie took a 3-point shot and that exact same thing happened, it would be called a foul.
That's a flagrant one, actually. It's not just a foul. It's
make
a flagrant
it a
one.
Make it something.
Yeah, that's a flagrant one on a 3-point shot when you get under the shooter and he twists his ankle.
I don't think it's dirty because I don't think Giannis intentionally did that.
Right. The question from the caller was it a dirty play? I don't think it was a dirty play.
Uncalled for.
Unfortunate
right?
play. Yeah. I mean, he's making a hustle, get into the paint. Maybe that's something even that they tell him. Shot goes up, everybody to the paint, like rebound, whatever it is. And he's just making a hustle play at that moment. And it results, obviously, in something that could turn this series. All right, let's spin the wheel. It's an interesting question, interesting debate, though. Line 6.
Corey from New York.
What's up, Corey?
I have two quick questions. Is it more likely for the Suns to make it to the finals than the Nets losing before the finals? And Key, what's your favorite barbecue grilling food to throw on the grill?
What do you like to put on the grill, man?
It just depends. I put everything on.
What's
there.
Your favorite though? Like if you had one thing
depends.
Where it's like you
a
want
whole
to grill
fish,
tonight?
A whole red snapper, branzino. Yeah, I like to. Put that on there.
There you go. All right. And as far as Suns getting to the finals or Nets not getting to the finals, which is more likely is the question.
I have Suns getting to the finals.
I got a better question. Would Chris Paul prefer to play the Clippers for obvious reasons in the conference finals?
I'll go with CP3. I would go with CP3 there.
He wants them because of the history, right?
Yeah, it would be cool. It would be cool to see CP3 at him.
The perfect scenario for that.
How they booted him out of there.
Yeah,
treated him when he left.
He was the problem.
Yeah,
that's the story. The narrative. He was the problem.
Yeah.
No,
so of course I'd love to see him. Mm. Plus, I don't need to see them anyway. Get to the finals.
But you're just rooting for the Clippers to melt down in some way.
They gonna melt down anyway. It's a wrap.
You know it's coming. Spin it. Call the roulette continues. 888-SAY-ESPN. Line 3. Hello.
Morning.
What's happening, man?
What's up?
Well, how's it going, guys? Hey, Gilbert Fulton from El Paso, Texas.
What's happening?
Hey, so I just want to talk about PJ Tucker, man. I mean, back in the days, you know, I'm an old school type of guy, basketball guy. And you know, this was going on every night, every day, every time the playoffs were in. So, for Durant to start acting out like a little prima donna, I guess I would, just not to call it something else, I think it needs to stop. I mean, come on now. PJ Tucker is playing his butt off, and they need to just let him play. And
well, you're a Texas guy, so you know that those guys both, right, have played at Texas. They know each other really well. They're close, and it's a fierce competition. But, you know, PJ probably knows well enough what he has to do. And, I mean, guys, you consider this. I'm down in a series. I'm trying to win. I got to do whatever it takes. You know, this ain't show friends, it's show business. So I've got to handle the business right now and win this series. And he knows what I'm trying to do. I would do the same damn thing. Until they call it, I'm going to bother you as much as I can to get you off your game.
Yeah, a little gnat.
Something.
Be there to be a problem.
And how about he's knocking that, Jay, he's knocking down threes.
That's a big-ass gnat.
But he, I mean, he's stocky.
That's a big gnat really... key right there. That's a bulldozer, man.
Little wide body.
Mm-hmm. But he's getting it done so far. We'll see what happens in game 5.
All right, roll it.
Spin it one more time. He's getting impatient. Line 4.
Yeah, hi, it's Robert from Virginia.
Hey, Robert.
I know there's been a lot of discussion about the Julio Jones move, but I think it's a great move for Tennessee. And let me tell you why. To add a player of that caliber, he's probably going to win you a couple games each year on a big play. And I look at Tennessee going from a 10-6 wild card team to a potential.
We got
to
go, so we'll have to finish this conversation tomorrow. When he says, I got to tell you why, you knew.